You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Grandma and Grandpa used to play. 'Cause that's where music has to start. Oh, play me some mountain music like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway. Hey, hey.
It's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
And here we are once again. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, the 5th of November. Remember, remember, as Amy said, the 5th of November. You know, we don't say that as a, it's not like it's a hobby or something fun. Oh, let's go watch this movie again. No, it's this is a must-see. I know most of you have probably seen it. If you haven't, you need to watch it, and you need to watch it tonight. You probably ought to watch it every 2 or 3 months. But watch that movie not just as a, I don't know what you call it, a drama or whatever. Look at it with liberty in mind. Look at it with revolution in mind. It's, it is a, now could one man have done all this stuff? No, probably not. With unlimited resources and some help in the background, maybe. But I think it kind of shows what one person can do. No one person couldn't have done all that, but I still think that the example is there for what one person can do. One person can do a lot if they just will. It's an amazing movie. We've watched it. I don't know how many times we've watched it. And we'll watch it again. We've had a lot going on, and we just got here just barely, or I just got here just barely before the show. So, you know, we didn't watch it tonight yet. I might still watch it afterwards. I don't know. But we'll watch it here in the next day or two because it's time. So,
all right, let's move on. Actually, I wonder if I've talked to anybody on this. I better go check the chat room and see if anybody loves me here. Yep, NM Glock, thank you. Nan's in there, Doc. Okay, good deal. Thank you. I love you. We've got a lot of stuff to cover tonight, but before I get started in that, you know, every once in a while I have a equipment review or something, you know, radios or something like that. And I don't think we've ever talked about this. I've got about four things here that, and if I don't remember doing this, if I have, you know, somebody get in the chat room and stop me and I'll go on to something else. I've got lots of other stuff to talk about. But these are four, I think, very important items that you should have in your bug out bag. It's important enough to me that I've got one of these things that I carry on me every day. It has become part of my EDC, part of my everyday carry. And I've got two of the other ones out in my truck, and I use them all the time. And they've become a very essential part of what I do in my job and my personal stuff each and every day. So, and they're easy to find. I'll get to all that in just a minute. So, let's see. Oh, thank you, Nan. Nan, the movie is V for Vendetta. If you've not seen V for Vendetta, you need to watch it, like, soon. It is an amazing movie, and like I said, watch it with liberty in mind. All right, let me... And Amy said I have to put type it in the chat room here for you. Okay, that's what I'm doing. There you go, V for Vendetta. So, watch that movie if you haven't seen it already. Okay, here we go. I think Nan has already seen some of these things for backpacking and hiking and stuff, but I don't think any of the rest of you have. So these things, the first one, I've got the item numbers for, I think, three of these items, so you can find them real easy. No, one, two. Oh, there's only three. Yeah, there's only three items, not four. I'm sorry. And I have the item numbers for, no, there is four. I have the item numbers for three of them. The other one you can find at Walmart, and I'll show you how to do that in just a minute. So the first one has become my absolute favorite knife in the whole world. Now, understand that I've been in the preparedness and survival game and hunting, and I was even once a little boy where I used knives for everything. I like good knives. I've got knives that run anywhere from you know, $40 to $190, $200. And I've always just thought that knives have to be from $40 to $190 to $200 to be any good. I have recently found out in the last year that that is not so. In the things that I do around here between classes and everything, and I wind up needing a knife quickly, and usually to open a box or, you know, open a package with, you know, doorknobs or whatever, the locks and stuff in it, whatever it is. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get me a box cutter. And I went down to Lowe's and I said, there is a very nice box cutter. I think I'll just grab that. And then I got to carry it around. I said, well, okay, now I've got my Leatherman. I've got my other little knife that I use for surgical procedures. And I've got my regular full-grown folder that is a genuine knife. And then I've got this box cutter. And I said, all right, this is getting a little bit crazy. But yeah, I had all this stuff on my Batman belt here. With my magazine and my knife, my gun, and all this stuff on there, it's starting to look like Batman. So, and I said, you know what would be awesome is if they had a box cutter like this. And I really like the box cutter because it is easy to change blades. It's extremely rugged, and it's just it's a great tool. But it's still another knife. I said it would be neat if there was one that had a box cutter on it like this and this had an extra blade, a blade, knife blade, regular blade. They use for regular knife type things like carving and whittling and skinning deer and stuff like that. I said that would be cool. So I was down at Lowe's looking around one day And their package is a little bit obscure, a little bit discreet as far as their description of the knife in there. And I just happened to look, and I said, "Look, it looks a little funny." And I looked at it, and I said, "You know, it's got a knife blade. It's got two knife blades." So I got it, and I didn't expect it was $16. $16. I can tell you that I've seen enough Pakistani and Indian and Chinese knives for $16 and $5 and $7.95 and whatever to know that this could not have been much of a knife. Let me tell you the story. This knife is freaking awesome. It holds a good edge. It's got one blade that's got what would be called, for those of you knife aficionados, you know what a clip point is. This is kind of a clip point blade on this. Perfect for skinning. It's about a 3.25 inch blade, something like that. I haven't measured it. And easily opens and closes with one hand. Very easily, very quickly, very smoothly. And it's got the same box cutter that the other one had, that the regular box cutter had. Exactly the same thing. From the side, it doesn't look any different. Same color, same shape, same everything. The only thing is, when you turn it over, it's a little bit thicker because it's got two other blades in it. And one of them is a serrated tanto point blade for this utility stuff, cutting wires and tin cans and, you know, whatever you need to do. And then the one good blade that's got that knife cutter on it. I mean, that box cutter. And the box cutter also easily, quickly flips open with one thumb and one hand and closes the same way. You can reach the liner lock on it and close it exactly the same way. Quick, easy, smooth. The serrated blade is a little bit harder to open with one hand, but I can. That's a small sacrifice because the other two do open easily. So, Nan the Cobalt. And I don't like the Swiss Army knife. I really don't. It's got too much junk on it, too much useless stuff that, it's okay to have one in a backpack or somewhere, a glove box or, you know, saddlebags or in a cabin or somewhere. It is not all right to carry on you. It's too much to carry and there's too much junk. You know what? Depending on which model you get, there's like 8,000 models of them. And there's a couple of them that's got, you know, 411 different blades on it. And I just say most of them you'll never use in your life. So I'm not a big fan of Swiss Army knives. But, okay, now listen to my reasoning here on this Cobalt knife here. Besides for the fact that it opens up easily and everything, it had the replaceable razor blades. Okay, they're double ended, just like any other box cutter. Okay, now I see that. Who would not want a razor sharp blade readily available and instantly replaceable for $16. You can buy a package of 10 of those blades for, I don't know what they are, like $3 or something. And to buy 10 of those blades is to carry 20 extra knives on you. You'd have that package of those blades in your backpack or glove box or something, and you'll always have a knife. And I'm kind of cheap, but I like to sharpen knives. And those razor blades are pretty easy to sharpen. You take I forgot the brand of this knife sharpener I've got in there, but it's got the little tungsten carbide inserts in it and ceramic inserts. And 30, 45 seconds, I can have one of those blades shaved and sharp again. So if you take care of your blades and don't break them, and sharpen them a little bit, a package of 10 blades will last you a hell of a long time. So the point is here for a poop hit the fan type tool, This knife is not real sexy. It's not. It doesn't look as pretty as some. I got some really nice knives, and they're expensive, and they work good, and they hold a good edge. But if you break it or lose it or something, you're not going to replace it for $16. And the other thing, if you have to, Cobalt has a lifetime replacement policy on a lot of their tools, and this knife is one of them. You break it, something happens to it, they don't ask, they don't care. You just bring it in, there you go, it's broke. There you go, we'll get you another one. And that's the end of that. So that's another good thing. But look at this. If you take, we're talking razor blades for the box cutter type thing. So if you would just take one or two of those and sterilize them in alcohol or colloidal silver, preferably colloidal silver, and wrap them in gauze and put them in an airtight container like a pill bottle or something, you have readily available, instantly accessible tool for emergency medical procedures in the field. Why is that not a good thing? So that's the deal about the knife. Now let me look. If I look down here, I can probably be able to read this item number. Like I said, it's Cobalt. It's, yeah, I can, it's right there. It's Cobalt Lowe's. Lowe's is the only place you can get Cobalt tools. And the item number, and all you got to do is walk in. If you don't want to go shopping and looking for it, just walk in, tell them you want one of these, and somebody will go get it for you. The item number is 366371. It's a, they call it a Cobalt 4.5-inch folding utility knife. And I cannot express to you how much I have fallen in love with this cotton picking knife. Okay, another thing is, if you go to, Sportsman's Warehouse or, Cabela's, Walmart, any place that has hunting and camp and stuff, you'll find little folding saws that are, you open them up and they're like 18, 20 inches long, something like that. Some of them are relatively useful. Some of them are pure junk. The saws, the blades kink and bend and break and they're not very aggressive and the teeth wear out and they're gadgets, they're toys. Cobalt has one and I have used it. It's got three blades with it. It has a metal blade, a metal cutting blade. All the blades are metal, actually. But a metal cutting blade, a hacksaw blade. And it works good. I have cut bolts in two with it and several softer metal things. It works really, really well. And there's two other blades. One of them is what you might consider a bimetal blade or something like that. It's good for plastic and softer woods harder woods and bone. It'd be good for, quartering an elk or something. And the other one is a much more aggressive for a little bit softer wood. And if you use that for anything from clearing limbs around a campsite, one of the things that a lot of people do or don't do around their campsite is you should walk around there while it's still daylight and break off or cut off all the eye-poking limbs that are out that are about eye-high. For everybody, if you got little kids, look for the ones closer to the ground, and for the adults, the ones higher up. But trim some of those limbs away so people walking around at night with the fire going and can't see very well and moving their stool back from the fire and walk into a tree and poke their eye out. So these little saws are good for something like that. If you have a climbing tree stand, that's a good thing to take with you to whip those limbs out of the way right quick so you can get up to the level that you want to get to hunt from. So a number of different things you can do with these little saws. And they were, let me see, it seemed like they were about $12 or something like that. Hold on just a minute. The saw was right there, and it is, $12.98. Cobalt. It comes with a nylon case that you can put on your belt or just keep everything together and put in a pack or whatever. It's called the Cobalt 3-in-1 Folding Saw with Pouch. Item number. You ready to copy? Here you go. Item number 815-9-7-9. I want you to go get one of these. These are awesome, awesome tools. Next thing, also at Lowe's. I think, I actually insist on, for our guys, that you have certain things available to you in your backpack and stuff. And one of those things is, protective gloves. You know, rubber, latex, nitrile or whatever gloves. And I want everybody to have at least one or two in their backpack, not counting what's in your trauma kit. Those are special not to be used for other stuff. So that's all well and good, but I've got big hands. And most of these gloves that you get, you go buy a box full of them at Walmart or wherever, get them on at Amazon. And they suck. They break easy. They tear really easy if you touch anything. And you have to wear them sometimes, especially when you're dealing with body fluids and chemicals and stuff like that. And it's essential, but I'm scared of them because they just, you know, once in a while I can find a box of extra large that will last me a little while. But by the time you put them on and take them off once, you've probably ripped them already doing that. So I've got a solution to that for you. Go back in the paint section at Lowe's and look for some black box with a big red spider looking thing on it. And it's called Venom Steel. They're more expensive than regular rubber gloves, but they're not like the big, heavy, awkward chemical gloves. They fit tight. You can still, you know, like the old commercial used to say about Playtex gloves, you know, back in the day, said you can still pick up a dime with these. You can still pick up a dime with these gloves on. As far as your tactility with these gloves, it is not any different than using regular rubber gloves, but they are two or three times thicker. They're rugged enough that I have put them on and taken them off numerous times if I'm not handling something, you know, been in, I don't know, something I don't want to wash off. I just take them off and throw them away. But for the most part, I usually take them off, rinse them off. You know, I wash them while I still have them on my hands and rinse the sweat out of the inside, and I'll put them on a screwdriver handle or something and sticking up out of the bed of the truck or on a stick or something and let them dry and use them numerous times. They're that rugged. These are a absolute must-have in your bug out bag and backpacks. And I just use them around the house. They're amazing rubber gloves. I never thought I'd say a rubber glove would be. What's so special about a damn rubber glove? These are not rubber, actually. They're nitrile or whatever you say that. But they're worth the extra money for dang sure. All right. Wait a minute. I got breaking news here. One last thing, and you guys are going to laugh at this, but before you laugh, hear me out. This is something that I always thought was a marvelous invention, was wet wipes, baby wipes. But, baby wipes for the butt, for the baby butt, yeah, are awesome. But they're always way too small dimensionally, you know, length and width, and way too fragile and too thin. They tear. They're useless except to wipe tiny little baby butts with. Other than that, they're no good unless you have little bitty, tiny little Tyrannosaurus Rex hands. So they're practically useless. You get, you know, four or five of them out of the package and do your best to try to wipe the candy bar off your fingers that you got on there or something or whatever you spilled. So I've always wanted to find something that was a little bigger and a little better. I've ordered several of these from Amazon, and there's a few out there. They're expensive, and some of them are actually big enough. I found one that was, it was 12 inches long, but it was still 5.5 inches wide. So why couldn't they make it like 10 by 10 or something? I thought that was stupid. So it was kind of hard to use, and it wasn't much thicker than a regular wet wipe. So wet wipes in your bug out bag and stuff, or in your hunting camp or whatever, it's a great way to save water. It's good to have. Most of these that I've seen are antibacterial. So if you need to cleanse small wounds and stuff, well, even larger wounds, they're marvelous for that. They work really, really well. So I found one that, they're about 7.5 by 9 inches. They're not as big, quite as big as I'd like for them to be. 9 by 9 would be good. 10 by 10 would be absolutely amazing, but I haven't found that yet. But these are also 2 or 3 times thicker than the average baby wipe. So you can actually wipe your hands with them. You can actually, take a quick bath with them or something. They're big enough to do that. And they come in 2 sizes of containers, and they're not in the baby wipe aisle. Don't go look for them over there. They're in the, where they call it, personal care or something, over where the shampoo and all that other stuff is. Yeah, down in the, close to the pharmacy. And there's several different types there, and they're not called baby wipes. They're called wet wipes. The 2 that's most important here, you want to look on the package. They're red and white, and then a little bit of blue, a little band of blue down towards the bottom third of the thing. One of them is a big canister that's got 65 of them in it. The other one is a flat, like a travel bag. It's got 28 in it, I think. And they're called wet ones, and then right under that it says big ones. I think that was kind of not the most time spent on thinking of a name for that, but that's what they're called. If you go looking for them, that's what you're going to need to look for. Wet ones is the brand, and big ones is the model, I guess. And so the little travel pack, obviously, with 28 in them, that's good for a weekend in the woods. That fits really well in a backpack, glove box, or something like that. And I carry one of these other ones, these big canisters with 65 in it. I carry one of those behind the seat of my truck on the floorboard there in the back seat. And when I get done, a lot of times I get through in a little job somewhere and there's no running water or anything, and it's time for lunch. And about the best I can do is wipe my hands on my pants and try to keep my sandwich in a wrapper, But with these big wet wipes, I can actually, do a good job of washing my hands and eating or whatever I need to do. And there's one other one here that I think you should be aware of. It's also the same wet ones, but these are singles, and they're like the little singles you get for the little alcohol wipes that you get for sterilizing the area where you're going to get a shot or something. That's about all they're good for. They're kind of useless. These single wet ones are about the size of any other baby wipe, but they're a little thicker, and they're singly wrapped in foil packages. So if you need to, you got a wound you need to cleanse real quick. This is not something that I want for, cleaning my hands, but for cleansing a wound or cleaning an area where you're going to put an IV in or something like that. Yes, we do have lots of IV catheters and all that kind of stuff, and we do that. We know how. So that's what these would be good for. Or smaller areas in your face, your ears, your nose or something, sunburned or whatever the case may be. But I think in both in a backpack and a first aid kit, that those singles would be useful for that. And they're, the big 65 pack is $4.28, so they're damn sure cheap enough. The 28 pack, the flat travel pack, is the resealable pack, is $2.28, and the little package of single. There's 24 packs of singles in a box of these other ones here, and they're $1.98. So you dang sure got a little leeway there to get a few extras. I guess I've been looking at other stuff here so much. I don't know if I had, if anybody would have told me I've already done this, I wouldn't have known because I didn't look at the chat room. So anyway, there's my little, hints and tips and camp, whatever you call it, for the day. So I think what I'm going to do here is I'm going to sneak over here and take a little break, and we'll come back, and we've got a whole bunch of stories we need to go through in kind of a short period of time. So stay with me here, and I'll be back here in just a minute.
I'll be back.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes every time, and you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrel specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Bench, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Campfire, coffee, from a tin cup in my hand. It sure warms the fingers when it's cold. I'm playing an old guitar, a friend I understand. It sure smooths the wrinkles in my soul. Sleeping in the moonlight, a blanket or a bed. It leaves a peaceful feeling in my mind. Waking up in the morning with an eagle overhead makes me long to fly away before my time. And I think God must be a cowboy at heart. He made wide open spaces from the start. He made grass and trees and mountains and a horse to be a prince. And trails to lead old cowboys home.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. You know, surprisingly enough, we managed to add another show to this segment, Amy's show, and actually managed to have everything at the right time, and I noticed that some of you were even waiting for us to come on, just like you had good sense, or maybe like you was expecting us to have good sense. So we did, just before the show, about 28 minutes before the show, Amy had to come out and say, I said, here 2 or 3 days ago, I said, okay, here's what the deal is. Some of you remember the fiasco we had here about 3 years ago, trying to figure out what the hell time we were supposed to be on, since we don't change time and all the rest of y'all hadn't figured out how to do that yet. And it went on and on, and we were seriously trying to figure it out. We got to laughing so damn hard, couldn't hardly talk. And anyway, we finally got it figured. I think we were on an hour early or an hour late. I don't remember, maybe both. So Amy says, okay, just tell me what time I need to be here. That's all I need. So I told her, be here at 8 o'clock our time or 7 o'clock our time. So then she tells me 30 minutes before the show starts, isn't it spring up, fall back? Where are you sure? Isn't it early? Are we going to be late? I said, no, just be here. Well, but isn't it? And so I explained it all to her again. And we managed to come to the conclusion that we managed to get here at the right time. So we go through this every stinking year. I wish you guys would just quit changing time and catch up with us. And we just, none of us would have to worry about this ever again. And that would be okay with me. By the way, for those of you that have, been trying to get on Gab or interested in Gab, they are back up. You knew they were down for a little while because of the...
Here are some matching videos.
Why do I have... Oh, I know why I have that, because Google is listening. Don't listen, Google. Thank you. What the heck, she scared me so bad I forgot what I was talking about. What was I talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, about Gab. Jeez. Who's on first? Yeah. So you guys know that because of the synagogue shooting, Gab was taken down. Their service provider said, you know, 9 o'clock Monday morning, you're out of here. That was a week ago today. And Gab said, we will be back. And I told you all this the other day. And so yesterday they came back up, and immediately you should have seen the response. It's like I told you guys the other day. I said, this will be a good thing. And a friend of mine, we got to talking about it, and he said, yeah, this will be good because it'll bring Gab into the limelight. You know, people will wonder about it. Well, he could not have been more right. It was here's some of the, I copied some of these this morning. Just a very small sample. There were dozens of them. As soon as Gab came back up, one of the posts said, "Hello, Gab World. I'm happy to support free speech from Canada." Hashtag MAGA. Hello, and how do you say this? Namaste?
Namaste.
Namaste, whatever it is, some kind of a vegan thing or something. Yoga, she said. Okay, so it's yoga. Hello, and huh?
Namaste.
Oh, okay. Namaste, she said. Namaste at, let's see, you have supporters from all over the world. Shout out from the land of Himalayas, Nepal. Another one said, I had never even heard of Gab before a week ago,
but I saw how it's being ravaged by the mainstream fun police and stands as a platform of free speech, so I decided to make my own account. Hopefully this small account helps Gab and all of its potential. Cheers. Another one said, hello, everyone. I don't agree with Gab's founder on a lot of things, nor probably most of the community here, but I believe in free speech and have joined in support of that. Another one said, hello, just joining the group and Gab. New to Gab, anyone else from the UK here or just sick of being banned off of Twitter? Cheers. Never used Gab before, but I'll make damn sure to use it now. Last one said, first of many posts to come. Hello, Gab. So this all happened. You know, the Gab was growing by 10,000 members a day before all this happened. I have no idea what they're doing now. But I hope you guys will give it a shot. If you haven't tried it before, if you're looking for something to get away from the censorship and the privacy invasion of these other social media outlets, try Gab. You don't have to, you know, completely drop everything and go over there. It's a little hard to do. We're all so used to Facebook and all of our friends over there, but a lot of my friends are moving over to Gab. And I still am going to strive towards being off of Facebook for the most part by January 1st. I've got a lot of things. I've already deleted a couple of pages and kind of migrating that way. And with this new thing, now I'll probably wait to do it until Gab builds their own servers or whatever you call them to keep it running or something like that. So I don't want to close all my stuff on Facebook and then have Gab disappear again. But for those of you that have iPhones, I'm sorry, but you're out of luck. I've heard that there's a workaround for an app for iPhone. I don't know how to use it. I don't know if it's true. But if you have an iPhone, number one, you should get rid of it and get you an Android. But if you don't want to do that, then you're going to have to figure out something else. What you can do, there may not be an app for it, but you can still go to their website. It's simple, gab.ai. That's all there is to it. Even if they don't have an app, there's no reason in the world you can't do it through the internet. Most of us have enough data and get on Wi-Fi or whatever with your phone and still be a part of Gab. It's getting easier to use, and the internet version is much easier than the app anyway. I like it. I'd rather use the website version, the P, whatever you call it. So there you have. That's what's going on. The app still seems to be having a little problem there. It's not 100% up yet, but it's coming around. Yakima Glock said, is the Gab phone app working? I was having a hard time getting it to work. It's working, but I think it's just not quite up to par yet. What Nan say, Arizona not only doesn't change our time, we also don't keep track of time. There always is that. You know, all of Arizona's not that way. I guess technically it is, because the Navajo Indian Reservation doesn't, they do change times right along with, you know, like they have ever since whenever daylight savings time started. So that's about probably close to a quarter of the state changes time just like the rest of the country. And I said it's not really part of the state. Well, if you want to go with the whole sovereign nation thing, there's a lot of reasons not to do that, but it's still within the boundaries of the state of Arizona. Let's put it that way. Nan, come on over to Gab. If you have a problem with it, get a hold of me and I'll help you through it. But it's not as user friendly. It doesn't have as many features as Facebook does yet, but they're working on it. And, you know, you can get a pro version. Now remember to understand also that there's no ads on Gab. Everything is all about Gab. It's all about you. It's all about free speech and personal liberty. If you want to pay, $5 or $6 a month for the pro version, you can have, you know, access to live video. You can even charge for your video. You can put video content on it and charge, you know, 99 cents or whatever you want to put on there and make a few bucks. Make that $6 back pretty easy. So there are some features on Gab that, if, that Facebook doesn't have and vice versa. All right, let's go on. Remington. You know, we've had problems with Remington triggers, or at least they say they have, for quite a few years. A lot of lawsuits and stuff. And I have to wonder through all this time, you know, somebody asked me today, are these new triggers worth it? I like my old trigger, and should I, you know, do you think it's worth changing? Do you trust this new trigger? And I said, oh, no, this has been going on for a long time. I said, they changed their triggers once back in about 2007, 2008. So I don't know if there's another new trigger or if they're just putting their old new trigger in older pre-2007 guns. I don't know. And I don't doubt that there may have been a few genuine or accidental discharges with some of these, possibly. There are a lot of complaints, a lot of lawsuits and stuff. I also know that there are a lot of people that can't keep their booger hook off the loud button. They can't keep their finger off the trigger. Or they have somebody work on it that was not qualified, had a few too many beers or whatever, or they set it down in the corner too hard. It's old, been shot a lot, and if it's got one in the chamber and the safety's not on and you set it down on its butt and lean it up against the corner or whatever, it will go off. Any other gun will too. If it's cocked and off safety and you bounce it on the butt hard enough, it will go off. Some don't take very much and some have to be a little harder, but pretty much any rifle or shotgun will do that. So, you know, the key is if you're not going to have it in your hand, you shouldn't have one in the chamber anyway. That's the way it works. There's this little thing called common sense and safety that some people seems to freaking escape these people. I don't know why. So, yeah, there may have been some real ones. You know, I'm not going to say that there wasn't. I will say that there's no question in my mind that some of these were operator headspace and timing. So, you know, how many, I've got another story here tonight about a dog that shot his owner. That's the second or third one we've talked about in the years that the shooting bench has been on. So how many of them did something like that happen to and they're just jumping on the lawsuit bandwagon? How many other manufacturers has the same thing happened to but were quietly settled out of court? You know, there's probably, I don't know about probably, but possibly more Remington 700s and 700 variants out there than maybe any other civilian centerfire bolt-action rifle out there. Sure, there's more, you know, 03A3s and stuff like that. Maybe, I don't know if there is or not. There's a lot of Remingtons out there. So I don't know how many 700s and their variants that I have owned. I still have three of them. And how many tens of thousands of rounds that I've put through them in training and practice and hunting and goofing around and sitting on the edge of a canyon and shooting at yonder rock over there, you know, for half a day or whatever. I have put many, many, many thousands of rounds through Remington 700s. I've had a lot of them. I've shot a lot of them. I've seen a lot of other people shoot them. I've been in classes where I've seen other tens of thousands of rounds fired. And so far, I have not witnessed a single one of these mysterious accidental discharges they talk about. You'd think as many rounds as I've put through them and as many as I've either supervised or witnessed, that I would have possibly seen at least one, but no. So I'm not, I know Remington has been fighting this for a long time, and some of their engineers even said they're retired or retired or fired or, you know, changed jobs, whatever, engineers said that they wondered about this trigger. So I don't know. If you look at the percentage of ones that they claim to have happened compared to the number that have been made, I think it's statistically insignificant. Of course, I wouldn't think that if it was my kid that got shot. As this one guy here has spent 18 years researching every one of these accidental discharges and all of the news and all of the updates on the guns and all this, 18 years. He was so obsessed with this that he ruined, it's because his son was shot 18 years ago with a, actually I believe, if I read the story right, I think it was his mother that, yeah, his mother shot him. He died in 2000. His mother's Remington Model 700 fired without her touching the trigger. So they say. I wasn't there. The bullet struck Gus, who, unbeknownst to the family, had run to the other side of a horse trailer. So there's still, I think, safety issues here that should have been addressed. But anyway, 3 days after this, someone from the sheriff's office gave the family a 1994 Business Week article titled "Remington Faces a Misfiring Squad." And it talked about a guy named Glenn Collins down in Texas whose 700 accidentally went off and shot him in the foot, and he had to have his foot amputated. So, anyway, they say again the fire went off without touching the trigger. Okay, let's assume, and I'm not trying to make light of this at all. Understand, I'm just looking at it from an instructor's point of view. Every one of these could have been avoided by proper muzzle control, by not having a round in the chamber when you shouldn't have. The guy wouldn't have shot himself in the foot if he hadn't have been pointing at his frickin' foot. The lady was pointing at the horse trailer, not knowing the kid was on the other side. Well, you know, there's either up or down, not laterally. Unless you're about to shoot something, it should be technically pointed at the ground. There's a lot of people carry with the muzzle up with a round in the chamber. I'm not a real big fan of that. Yes, I've done it, and I probably will again. But ideally, it should be pointed at the ground. But I think each of these could have been avoided either by proper trigger discipline and or proper muzzle control. So that's my story, and you're welcome to it. So let's real quick go over some of these other ones here. This one could be a big problem. If this bill goes through, this is going to be an issue. Lawmakers here in New York are working to draft a bill that would propose a social media check before gun purchases. That means they're going to get on your Facebook page, on your Gab page, and your Twitter, and they're going to go through there and see what have you been saying? What have you been talking about? Have you threatened anybody? Are you ugly? Are you wearing a mask? Are you, you know, the right color or whatever? So they're going to check everything out on Facebook before they sell you a gun. If this passes, this will be a very, very bad thing. In Las Cruces, New Mexico, here's one of those that Las Cruces man said, "My dog accidentally pulled the trigger and shot me while I was hunting." Well, there's another one of those things. He said the New Mexico man recovering said his dog Charlie shot him. 120-pound Rottweiler shot him in the back. Told police Charlie accidentally pulled the trigger during a hunt for jackrabbits and Las Cruces, according to the 74-year-old, Charlie got his foot in the trigger of the gun while in the back seat of his parked truck. There again, it's not the dog's fault, it's not the gun's fault. Why was the gun laying in the back seat of a truck with a round in the chamber and quite possibly off safety if the gun, I mean, maybe the dog took it off safety and pulled the trigger. But why was it laying in the back seat of the truck with a round in the chamber? No, no, no. That's not where they go, and that's not how you do it.
I will budge just a little bit on exposed hammers like a Marlin or Winchester 30-30 or a Savage 24 or something like that. You know, any of the exposed hammer guns, if it's got one in the chamber and you've got the hammer down on the safety notch. Well, you know, if I don't have anybody else riding the back seat, especially if I'm by myself, I can live with that. But all of the rest of these do not have exposed hammers. You cannot uncock the hammer. You can't drop the hammer to the safety notch. It's either cocked or it ain't. And if it's cocked and a dog hits the trigger or you hit a bump or it falls out on the ground when you open the door or you reach in and pull it towards you and it hits a seatbelt buckle or a range bag or something like that, it could conceivably fire. So, no. You put the round in the chamber either when you're driving down the road with the spotlight out the window shooting jackrabbits and the gun barrels out the window. Yes, I've done that. And I will again. Or you're out of the truck. That's period. That's just the way it works. Well, it went through the driver's seat, struck Gilligan's in the back. Gilligan, what a name, huh? Breaking a few ribs and shattering his collarbone. He was transported to University Medical Center in El Paso, where he underwent several surgeries. He's expected to recover. Gilligan still says Charlie's a good dog. Well, good for him. All right. Group of pirates operating off Somali just got more than they bargained for. Tried to attack a passing cargo ship earlier this month. The small vessel described as a whaler approached the Hong Kong-flagged merchant ship while it was offshore and opened fire on the ship's bridge. Closing to just 15 feet of the huge bulk carrier, the whaler's crew, four pirates armed with AK-47s, tried to use hooks and ladders to board the vessel, but were met by return fire from the ship's onboard security team. That's what I'm talking about. Me and Jason used to wonder all the time, why don't you shoot back? Okay, I get it. I understand about insurance restrictions and all that, okay? But all it would take is just a couple of guys, a couple of well-trained marksmen up there with bolt-action rifles, and we could bring this crap to a screeching halt right now, just like they did here. Deciding that the Sydney wasn't worth the trouble, the whaler broke off and was later tracked by a surveillance aircraft locating the same whaler at a small bay in the Somali coast on Sunday. The crew from the Spanish amphibious warship moved in and seized the craft and towed it out to sea and blew it up before the pirates that used it could mount any other attacks. There you go. That's the way to do it. All right. Let's see. One more. Do I want to do this one? I think I'll save this one for Wednesday because it's that time. We have used up our time talking about knives and rubber gloves, and so it is what it is. I thank you guys for staying with me. I hope that you didn't think my review on these, what on the outside seems like silly things, but I'll tell you, they're good tools. I like them a whole lot. Okay, well, I'm going to boot scoot boogie out of here, and I'll see you guys Wednesday night. Thanks for joining me again.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.